Blog Talk Radio.
Anchored in the Lord Jesus, that's what we are, saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Today is Thursday, March the 3rd. Well, we're talking about no need to fear. And our scripture is based on Isaiah 41:10. Before I get into today's Bible study, I was having some fellowship this morning with Brother Sterling Close, and he said, "Pastor, where is part number 5 for victory in the last round, which was supposed to have been recorded last Friday?" I said to him, "Well, it should be there." And he took me to Blog Talk Radio, and I didn't see it there. And so I said, "I'll get to the bottom of it." Well, I looked for it myself, and it's there. It's just not showing. It's just not showing on the website. So I sent them an email, and hopefully I'll get a response from them so that they can put it on because it's there. The audio is there. Everything is there. And if I don't get a response soon, then I'll re-record it. And the day that I will possibly re-record it will be Saturday morning. So I'll take care of victory in the last round, part five. We'll get to the bottom of it. And by this Saturday, the latest, you will have it. All righty. We're looking at the text, 41 of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. And it reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Heavenly Father, again, we just love sitting around your table. We love fellowshipping with you. Father, break bread for us and feed us today. Reassure us that even in our old age, you will not cast us aside. We have no fear of old age. We have no fear of sickness. We have no fear of disease, because you are the great physician and you will care for us if all others abandon us. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. On Tuesday, we defined what the word fear means. And it pretty much means what it means in English, but with some nuances to it. To fear in Hebrew means to be afraid. It's a verb, to be afraid of, to be fearful of, to be scared of, to be apprehensive of, to live in fear of, to be terrified of, to be anxious about, to worry about, to feel apprehensive about. So then we looked on Tuesday, we looked at not only the definition of the word fear, but we saw that the Bible tells us not to fear today, nor should we fear tomorrow. On Wednesday, we saw from the scriptures that we're to fear no man and we're to fear no devil. We have human enemies and we have spiritual enemies. Man, sinful man, fallen man, unregenerate man is our enemy, not because we seek war with them, but because they seek war with us. And then, of course, Satan is our arch enemy. Not that we pick the fight with him, but that he hates us because we are the people of God. So there's no need to fear tomorrow, no fear, no need to fear man, no need to fear the devil. And today we want to talk about no need to fear old age, sickness, or disease. Now, many of us, we are on the threshold, if you will, of entering into the stage called old age, the old age of life, when one becomes a senior citizen. When in those days we enter upon sickness, the phase of sickness and disease in our lives. Let's turn to Psalm 71. I want to take you to Psalm 71. And here David makes this prayer to God. David makes this prayer. Many scholars believe that Psalm 70 and 71 are connected, that they both come from the pen of King David. And they're called Psalms of Remembrance, where the psalmist is asking God to remember him. Here in Psalm 71, we want to look at starting at verse 6. By thee, referring to God, David is speaking. We believe it is David who is speaking. And he says, by thee, speaking of the Lord, by thee I have holden up from the womb. Thou art he who took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So David is basically saying is that when he was born, yes, his mother had a nursemaid, if you will, or rather a what they call a birthing mother, right? And or a midwife, a birthing mother or a midwife. She, David's mom, had the assistance of the women in the community, because there were no hospitals back then. The women in the community, and at the head of that group of women, that committee of women, was the midwife. Well, David says, no, above and beyond the midwife, the one who pulled me out of my mother's womb was the Lord himself. From the moment I came out and took my first breath, I was in God's hands. So now in verse 9, he comes full circle. He comes out of his mother's womb, and that was like yesterday. And then he says in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. You know, when appliances get old and don't work that good anymore like they used to when they were new, and tools, you know, you buy tools, and you've had tools for 25, 30 years, and then you realize, well, this tool, the best years behind this tool, you know, the tool is fair. It's not working like it once did. It's time to get a new whatever. Or vehicles. You know, you've had a car. You've treated the car well, but the car's got mileage. And now the car is starting to give you trouble on a routine basis. And you sit down with your wife and you look at the numbers, you look at your income, and you say, well, maybe we can squeeze in a new car payment, because this car is just, it's just failing us. When things get old, they get traded in. Or something new is bought to replace it, and the old thing is put aside. David is saying, do not put me aside, O Lord, like some tool that was once useful, but now it doesn't work like it once did. O Lord, do not put me aside like a washing machine or like a dryer that has had better days. O Lord, do not trade me in when I no longer efficiently. He says, I want to read that verse 9 again. This is David's prayer. Now remember, in verse 6, he says, listen, when I was born, yes, there were women there assisting my mother at my birth, but it was really the Lord who had purpose for my life, the Lord who had chosen me before the foundations of the world. He was there pulling me out of my mother's womb. And now that I am old, Lord, do not cast me aside. Do not cast me off. Do not wheel me into your garage and just leave me there like a tool that is no longer useful. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Why? Well, because, as he says in verse 10, for the enemies speak against me. For my enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Now, let me just share with you what David is saying here. Let me just give you a picture, a mental picture. David, remember in Psalm 23, refers to himself as one of God's lambs. David says of himself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any good thing. David refers to himself as sheep and God as his shepherd. So when you look at the sheep in the pasture, their arch enemy, the arch enemy of the sheep are wolves. And wolves, a wolf pack does not attack a flock of sheep immediately. A wolf pack will lay there in the grass with its head up so that it doesn't go noticed. Barely, it lies down. A wolf pack will lie down in the grass, in the tall grass, with his eyes piercing through that tall grass. And what it does is it studies the flock. It surveys the flock. And it's looking for two easy meals. The first easy meal are the young little lambs. The young little lambs that have little legs who can't run fast because their legs are little. And they are weak. Their muscles have not been exercised. So they're looking for easy pickings, all these wolves. So they scope out. And they're looking and they identify where the lambs are and what ewe has lambs. They're looking for lambs again. Their legs are short. They can't run fast. And they're also inexperienced. They don't know how to run or where to run to. When the experienced ewes start running, those little lambs are out of their league. They just stand there. What's going on? What's happening? They've never been through a wolf pack attack. So they're easy pickings. But wolves really don't want the little lambs. Why? Because they're little. They're a snack. They are a snack. What they look for, their first preference, are the old sheep that have lots of meat on them. They want those old sheep. The old sheep that are old, they have arthritic limbs. So they study and they look at the lambs or the sheep that are bigger, and they study which one has a limp, which one has arthritis. Which one is disoriented? Because, you know, when you get older, you get disoriented. I can testify to that. You don't have your wits are not as sharp as they once were. So the wolves looking for a bigger meal scope out the flock, and they zero in on the old, sickly, weak, this is what David is saying here in verse number 10. For my enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. You see, it's a wolf pack who are going to work in coordination one with another to pick off the older sheep. And they say to themselves, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And then David says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. That's how the elderly feel. You know, when you're old and you're elderly and you're up in years and things don't work like they once did, we start to think, you know, maybe the Lord is going to retire me. Maybe the Lord has no use for me. Maybe, you know, maybe God has use for younger people in the church. Maybe God is about to relegate me to some shelf. He's going to put me up there like some old tool and forget about me. Listen, David prays. This is the prayer of David. He says, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Oh, God, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you don't retire me. You know, this is why companies would retire people at a certain age. Why? Because they didn't work like they once did. They don't have the vitality that they once did. Their brain does not work as quickly as it once did. They're on decline. They're in decline. Better said. They're in decline. And so companies looking for more productivity, they give you a watch and they give you a little party and they send you off out to pasture. Like if you were some old racehorse or some old, you know, horse that is sent to the glue factory. My brothers and sisters, this is a common theme in the Bible. People fear. People fear old age. They fear that God is going to turn to the new generation and forsake the old generation. This is a common fear. But God says in Isaiah, he says this in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not. Why? Well, because your fears are unfounded. He says, for I am with thee. I'm with thee from beginning to end. Now, people may forsake you. People may give up on you. People may no longer find you useful. People may no longer find you beneficial to them or to their cause. And thus, they hardly call you. Or they hardly consider anything you have to say or any contribution that you have to make. But not the Lord. We don't have to fear God forsaking us in what? Our old age. We don't have to fear him casting us aside when our strength faileth. We don't have to fear that. Now, in verse 18, look at verse 18 of Psalm 71. Here's another text. Verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. See, there's the fear. The fear is creeping up again. Oh, God, I know what they do. I know what they do to old people in society. Once those grays start appearing, they start calling upon you less and less because now they fear that you're breaking down and your usefulness is over. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come to me. He says, listen, perhaps I cannot do the physical work that I once did. Perhaps, Lord, I cannot fight. I cannot go out into the battlefield and take on another Goliath. Maybe, yes, my best days are behind me, but use me as a witness. Let me preach the name of Jesus. Let me share the faith with this young generation. Let me be a teacher to this up-and-coming group of saints who know very little about the Lord. That's what he says. I still have usefulness, O Lord. I can still be of use to you. I can still be productive in the area of telling men about God and how great God is. My brothers and sisters, you have no need of God forsaking you. If you're up there in years and you live alone, or you can see in your future that you might have to live alone, let this word be a word of encouragement to you. You need not fear. In addition to that, not only will God not put you aside, not only will not God retire you, because there's no retirement in the Lord, he himself will be with you. That's the guarantee. He will be with you. David said at the end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and in the house of the Lord I will dwell forever. You see, God gives you God gives you, not the agency, not the visiting angels agency. No. God gives you two What are their names? Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, goodness and mercy will follow you around the house. You're old, you live alone. Goodness and mercy is right there with you. They've been sent by God to keep an eye on you. That's the God you serve. He will not cast you aside. You have no fear of having him forsake you or retiring you or you know, relegating you and declaring you to be obsolete. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, not him. So let me encourage you to fear not. Because if anyone is going to be by your side, it will be the Lord. Well, I'll be back tomorrow because what follows old age, sickness, and disease? Death and the grave. And I'm here to tell you in advance, there's no need to fear death and the grave. You don't need to fear today. You don't need to fear tomorrow. You don't need to fear man. You don't need to fear the devil. You don't need to fear old age, sickness, or disease. Neither do you need to fear death or the grave. Tune in tomorrow. I love you all with the love of the Lord. You pray for me as I pray for you. Pray for the choir who's meeting tonight for choir rehearsal. And may God richly, richly bless you.